get ready.
Hello, I think.
Welcome to the Galactic Escape Pod.
Incoming!
Well, come on.
Nice of you guys to drop by.
The official podcast of Galactic-Voyage.com.
Everybody quiet. We've been waiting for you.
Everything is proceeding as I have foreseen.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Welcome, everybody, to the Galactic Escape Pod. We're so glad to have you with us today. If this is your first time listening, or if you've been with us before, we're definitely glad that you've decided to join us. Let's get started with some of the topics that we're going to be talking about today. First thing we're going to look at is Disney Star Wars Weekends, as that'll be coming up very soon. We'll also talk about This Is Madness, the Star Wars Character Tournament. A recent interview with Charlie Ross, who is the voice of One Man Star Wars. We'll also talk about the satirical spoof, Luke's Change, an Inside Job. In gaming news, we'll also talk about the leaked test footage from Star Wars First Assault. And also in gaming news, the Old Republic's Insider, episode number 5. And then finally today, we'll close with the story of Star Wars, episode 4, A New Hope LP, part 8, which will be the conclusion of this particular episode. So let's go ahead and jump right into the news.
What if he doesn't survive? He's worth a lot to me.
All right, move along.
So for Disney's Star Wars Weekends, which will be coming up very shortly, each year Mickey seems to take on a different role in the official Star Wars Weekends logo. This year, his imagination takes him to the forest moon of Endor, where he is seen zipping away from scout troopers with Chip and Dale. Mickey's wild speeder bike ride on this year's artwork has historical significance as 2013 marks the 30th anniversary of Star Wars Episode VI, Return of the Jedi, the film that featured the Battle of Endor. In addition, for Star Wars Weekends, Ray Park and Warwick Davis have been announced as the first round of attending guests. Star Wars Weekends also takes place at Disney's Hollywood Studios every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from May 17th through June 9th, 2013. Our next topic for today is the This Is Madness, the Star Wars Character Tournament. You've heard of March Madness for basketball, right? Well, This Is Madness is the Star Wars Character Tournament. It's a showdown between the light side and the dark side in the first This Is Madness tournament. Vote for your favorite Jedi, Sith, Scoundrel, Rebel, or Bounty Hunter, and help decide who is, once and for all, the galaxy's most popular Star Wars character. The first round begins on Monday, March 18th, so cast your votes and come back every day for new matchups and results. And be sure to visit the official Star Wars website on Tuesday, April 9th, to see who will be named the winner of This Is Madness. So let's listen in as Darth Vader introduces the This Is Madness, the Character Star Wars Tournament.
Welcome to This Is Madness, the Star Wars Character Tournament. We would be honored if you would join us in This Is Madness. You will be presented with matchups featuring heroes on the light side and quote-unquote villains on the dark side. You don't know the power of the... Sorry, where was I? Ah, yes, the tournament. You must vote for your favorite hero or villain in each matchup. Whoever receives the most votes will advance in the tournament until he or she is crowned champion, of This Is Madness. Now for my pitch. With your backing, I will win this competition and crush all who stand in my way. Together, we will unleash the power of the dark side, and I will have bragging rights over both Obi-Wan and the Emperor, which is pretty awesome. So, as much as I hate democracy, vote now, vote often, and vote Vader. It is the only way.
Now be sure to visit the official Star Wars site for your brackets and get to playing right now. Recently, there was an interview with Charlie Ross, the one-man Star Wars, who uses his voice and acting abilities to create the Star Wars trilogy all by himself and just only by using his voice. So let's take a few moments and listen to the clip of this particular interview.
I lived on a farm for a couple of years, right? The farm didn't have any television reception. We had a television and a VCR. If we wanted to watch television, we had three movies to choose from. The first Star Wars film, The Blue Lagoon, which had Brooke Shields in it, and a miniseries called Shogun. Being 8 years old and not really into Brooke Shields, I watched Star Wars a stupid amount of times. But rather than taking it and having it be a waste of time, I've sort of spun it around as an adult.
Luke, let me take this mask off.
But you'll die.
Nothing can stop that now. Just for once, let me look on you with my own eyes.
I thought you were black.
I mean, the people predominantly that are at the show do know a lot about Star Wars, so they'll laugh, and they're going to react. For other people that don't know Star Wars well, they might find themselves looking at other people and going, okay, there's something going on that I'm not part of. Yeah. It is very theatrical, but to me it would be sort of like going to a cricket match if you didn't know anything about cricket. This has changed since I've been a child. It's actually the Emperor now. I think it's because he's so deliciously evil.
Oh no, my young apprentice.
He's in complete power, so he doesn't have to flex his muscles. He doesn't have to scream and jump up and down like a tyrant. He has complete control. I'm sure he's seen it now because, not live, but when I'm licensed by Lucasfilm. And when I had to get my licensing squared away with them, I had to send them, the sort of an hour-long version, a 15-minute, and then a 5-minute version of the show. Mm-hmm. So I've been told that he reviews everything that comes across his desk. I don't know what his reaction is. I'm sure he wonders about my, upbringing.
I don't think they're going to let us in, R2. We better go. Oh, R2, wait for me! Oh, how horrid!
Diwana Wanga.
Oh, Diwana Wanga.
Isekai, R2. Isekai, Omotsu.
I'm afraid our instructions are to give this message only to Jabba himself. Oh, R2, I have a bad feeling about this.
In sublime, sublime, con kiku.
I guess I've sort of made my bed insofar as that I've typecast myself, but it's a pretty comfortable bed, and I'm quite happy to lie in it.
For more information and a list of performance locations and times, be sure to visit onemanstarwars.com. Next up today is the satirical spoof called Luke's Change, an Inside Job. It's an examination of some questionable events and circumstances leading up to the destruction of the Death Star through the eyes of an amateur investigative journalist with the Star Wars galaxy. The focus is mainly on the connections between the people who created and operated the Death Star and those responsible for destroying it. So let's take a listen to it now.
On that fateful day, the day the Empire was attacked, all the crew, staff, and guests, including security personnel and Imperial officials, with the exception of one, were killed when the terrorist organization known as the Rebel Alliance blew up the Death Star with a squad of single-man fighters. The terrorists detonated the central core with proton torpedoes, destroying the prominent political target. But could the destruction of the Death Star have been an inside job perpetrated by top-ranking Imperial officials and royalty? What really happened that day? What's the likelihood that a squad of one-man attack ships like the X-Wing could penetrate the defenses of a heavily fortified moon-sized battle station? Even if a ship was somehow able to slip through, the difficulty of torpedoing a tiny ventilation shaft necessary to detonate the core is extremely high. In fact, a decorated and experienced Rebel Alliance fighter pilot, Wedge Antilles, is quoted as saying, "It's impossible." So how did the attackers make it through the defensive turrets on the Death Star's surface and swarms of Imperial TIE fighters? Well, most of them didn't. Let's take a look at one of the few that did. Luke Skywalker piloted the Rebel Alliance-issued X-Wing fighter that, according to the official story, fired the two critical torpedoes into the 2-foot ventilation shaft opening. The impossible shot. Luke was a farm boy, raised by his aunt and uncle on a desert planet, little to no professional combat or flight training. Every other experienced Rebel fighter pilot that day was killed or failed in their attack run. So what made Luke different? One element might be his family connections. Anakin Skywalker, known also by the moniker Darth Vader, is the overseeing manager and one of the chief commanding officers on the Death Star. He outranks admirals and is second in command only to the Emperor himself. Anakin is also Luke Skywalker's father. Anakin Skywalker was on the Death Star as the commanding officer on that fateful day. For some reason, he made an unorthodox and unprecedented move to personally fly a TIE fighter in the battle. Recovered logs show he relieved the fully qualified TIE fighter squad leader of his duty and assumed command of the squad conveniently just as Luke, his own son, was readying the final stages of the attack along the surface of the Death Star. Why would the highest in command of the most powerful battle station give up control and take on such a menial task as piloting a single fighter? It makes sense when one learns that he was the only member of the Imperial forces to survive the attack. Let's look at the events leading up to the detonation. The Death Star's defenses easily staved off most of the Rebel Alliance terrorists until the only remaining fighter was Luke's X-Wing. As he approached the ventilation duct along the trench, his father Anakin was now leading the three TIE fighters in direct pursuit. Logs show pilots in the TIE fighter squads were prepared to fire on Luke's X-Wing when they were ordered to stand down by Anakin Skywalker himself. Was he simply protecting his own son? Or was he setting the stage for a larger plan? It's worth noting that the experienced veteran pilot was unable to hit the vent target with the same X-Wing, the same torpedoes, from the same position as Luke. Directly after Wedge's failed run, Luke, with no training, was able to make a million in one shot, all the while being followed and protected by his own father. Isn't it possible that the torpedoes never had to hit their target at all for their plan to work? Unconfirmed reports indicate a third-party ship was present. This ship was not on record as being of Rebel Alliance or Imperial origin. Reports identify it as a Carillion-class fighter vessel, often modified and used by smugglers and mercenaries. This very ship was seen docked at the Death Star just prior to the attacks and may have been used to smuggle key members of both Imperial and Rebel connections. Could Anakin have planned for a mercenary smuggling ship to detonate explosives? The Rebel plan was based on structural and defensive intelligence of the Death Star, gathered under suspicious circumstances, raising even more questions. The root origins of the intel is unknown, but they somehow ended up in the hands of Leia Organa Solo, who was the Princess of Alderaan, the leader of the terrorist group Rebel Alliance, and you guessed it, the daughter of Anakin and sister of Luke. Leia Organa Solo, also known as Leia Amidala Skywalker, was on a transport ship with the intelligence not long before the Death Star was destroyed. The transport ship was intercepted by an Imperial-class destroyer commanded by her own father, Anakin. The intelligence was uploaded to an R2 android and translation droid, now determined to have been created by Anakin Skywalker himself. Why would the leader of the terrorist group choose to use androids created by the enemy? Could it be the plans were meant to end up in terrorist hands all along? Not convinced yet? From the time her transport ship was intercepted by her father's Imperial destroyer, records show she was taken to the Death Star, and multiple witnesses state she was seen in the Death Star control room when the planet she was princess of, Alderaan, was destroyed and all its inhabitants killed. Her brother Luke then secretly transported her directly to the Rebel Alliance facility to head the final stages of the attack and destruction of the Death Star itself. Witnesses report she was transported in a Corellian freighter vessel, exactly like the one reported to have assisted Anakin and Luke blow up the Death Star and escape. Isn't it quite possible that Leia was working with her father and brother, a family who felt destined to control the galaxy itself? Could the Death Star have been destroyed by Anakin to protect his daughter and hide evidence of her involvement with the Alderaan tragedy? Or perhaps it was for pure profits, as the contracts for constructing the second Death Star were awarded to Anakin Skywalker's very own construction company. Or maybe it was, as the official story goes, a simple farm boy with minimal combat training while working for his sister's terrorist group manages to blow up the most heavily fortified battle station ever made that happened to belong to his father, who happened to be the only surviving crew member that day. You decide.
So remember, this was a satirical spoof of the 9/11 truther video called Loose Change and was created by Graham Putnam. Well, in gaming news, our last episode we had talked a little bit about Star Wars First Assault. And this week, we're back on Star Wars First Assault with some leaked test footage from the game. And the first clip is the intro to the Star Wars First Assault trailer. It gives you a look through the eyes of a stormtrooper putting on his helmet. The second clip provided some gameplay footage, and in the clip, you could see stormtroopers and rebels battling across various Star Wars locales like the desert planet of Tatooine. It's very reminiscent of a multiplayer mode in a first-person shooter game like Call of Duty, or Battlefield, or Lucas's own Star Wars Battlefront. The video shows action in both first and third person. I don't know if that's a third-person mode, or just clips of a replay from the game footage designed specifically for this trailer. You can also see some of the game's guns, attacks, and special abilities. The game supports up to 16 players, one 8-person team for the Rebels, and one 8-person team for the Stormtroopers, as they face off in Star Wars worlds like Bespin and Tatooine. So stay tuned for more information as it becomes available.
We will deal with your Rebel friends soon enough.
In other gaming news, we have the Old Republic Insider episode number 5. Let's listen to the details of some of the new cartel market items, including the luxury skiff speeder and the contraband shipment, a set of 5 cartel packs. Also, they will discuss the exciting gameplay of updates coming in March and get some inside information of the new operation coming with the game update 2.0 called Scum and Villainy. So let's take a listen.
Hi, Corey Butler, producer at BioWare Austin, here for the Star Wars The Old Republic Insider Series, Episode 5. So this episode is all about what's coming March and beyond. Now, Bruce is going to show you some of the exciting new gameplay you can expect to enjoy with your friends in March, and then I'll be back to let you know what the cartel has procured for the market in the near future.
Thanks, Corey. Game Update 172 introduces our March to Mekeb promotion. Mekeb is a new world introduced in the Rise of the Hutt Cartel digital expansion. This digital expansion also increases the level cap to 55, so if your characters aren't 50 yet, you're going to want to get them there. To help with this, the March of Mekeb promotion introduces our first ever double experience weekends, beginning in mid-March and continuing through early April. Additionally, the Gree Secant returns for another run of the Gree event, Relics of the Gree. In addition to previous event rewards, the Gree are also offering a new Gree device, the Blue Sphere Transport Enclosure, which increases your lateral translation rates. Also this month, on public test, we have Game Update 2.0, introducing the new operation, Legions of Scum and Villainy, on the planet Darvanus. There's also new level 55 content and the achievement system. As always, we appreciate your support. Now I'm going to turn you back over to Corey Butler to tell us what's coming up this month in the cartel market.
Thanks, Bruce. I can't wait to cruise around Illumin in my new transport enclosure hotness. Speaking of, March is also a big month for the cartel market. So we've got a brand new shipment of packs coming in. Now think of a shipment as a set of 5 packs. And now we have the Enforcer and Regulator Contraband packs coming in as the first 2 packs of the current shipment. So put simply, this means that we have new gear, new mini pets, new emotes, and of course cool new vehicles coming into the market. Not only does the Contraband shipment bring new bonus items, but it also introduces a brand new reputation organization into the game, the Contraband Resale Corporation. As you progress through this new reputation track, you're going to earn cool new titles, gain access to unique items, and even get access to some of the most popular items from the cartel market and cartel packs. So each time we get together like this, I want to be able to share a quick tip with you that will hopefully enhance your experience with the game. So on top of the double XP weekends we have coming up in March, I advise that you use your XP boosts and or your legacy perks to get that much more experience and get all of your characters leveled up to 50 in time for Rise of the Hutt Cartel. From the entire team, I want to say thank you for the overwhelming support you've shown us over the past year. Your feedback has been great, so please keep it coming in. You can follow us at Twitter, @SWOTOR, and send your suggestions to #CartelMarket. We'll be watching and responding. May the Force be with you.
So for those of you that are playing Star Wars The Old Republic, looks like we've got some great news and information that have been coming your way. So we look forward to those new environments, the game updates, and the special packs. Well, today we conclude the story of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope LP. This is Part 8, and we will be playing it through the rest of the record at this point. When we last left off, the Rebel pilots were boarding their ships in preparation for the attack on the Death Star. As they lift off, Luke hears the voice of Ben telling him the Force will be with him.
Stand by alert. Death Star approaching.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Luck air spoils in attack position.
We're passing through the magnetic field.
Hold tight.
Switch your deflectors on double front.
Look at the size of that thing.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Accelerate to attack speed.
In the Death Star's command post, Lord Vader's aide calls attention to an annoying problem.
We count 30 Rebel ships, Lord Vader, but they're so small they're evading our turbo lasers.
We'll have to destroy them ship to ship. Get the crews to their fighters.
The Rebel base will be in firing range in 7 minutes.
Luke, trust your feelings.
Squad leaders, we've picked up a new group of signals. Enemy fighters coming your way.
My scope's negative. I don't see anything.
Pick up your visual scanning.
Here they come.
Watch it, you've got one on your tail.
Watch your back, folks. Watch your back. Fighters above you coming in.
I'm hit, but not bad. R2, see what you can do with it.
Hang on back there.
Red 6, you see Red
5? Thanks, Wedge.
Good shooting, Wedge.
Red Leader, this is Gold Leader. We're starting our attack run.
I copy, Gold Leader. Move into position.
Switch to targeting computer.
Computer's locked. Getting a signal. The guns, they've stopped.
I've analyzed their attack, sir, and there is a danger. Should I have your ship standing by?
Evacuate? In our moment of triumph? I think you overestimate their chances.
Rebel base, 3 minutes and closing.
Red boys, this is Red Leader.
Rendezvous at Mark 6.1.
Luke, take Red 2 and 3.
Hold up here and wait for my signal to start your run.
This is it.
We should be able to see it by now.
Keep your eyes open for those fighters.
There's too much interference. Red 5, can you see them from where you are?
No sign of any.
Wait, coming in point 3-5. I see them.
I'm in range. Target's coming up. Almost there. It's away!
It's a hit!
Negative. It didn't go in.
Just impacted on the surface.
Get set up for your attack run!
Rebel base, 1 minute and closing.
Biggs, Wedge, let's close it up. We're going in full throttle. That ought to keep those fighters off our back. Right with you, boss.
Luke, at that speed, will you be able to pull out in time?
It's just like Beggar's Canyon back home.
We'll stay back far enough to cover you.
Fighters, coming in, point 3.
Hurry, Luke, they're coming in much faster this time. We can't hold them.
R2, try and increase the power.
Rebel base, 30 seconds and closing.
I'm on the leader.
Hang on, R2.
Use the force, Luke. Let go, Luke.
The force is strong with this one.
Luke, trust me.
His computer's off.
Luke, you switched off your targeting computer. What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm all right.
Luke presses on, realizing his is a race to the death. He must destroy this metallic monster of malevolent evil before it can use its overwhelming firepower to annihilate the rebel base. He has but seconds.
I've lost R2!
The Death Star has cleared the planet. The Death Star has cleared the planet. Rebel base in range.
You may fire when ready.
Commence primary ignition.
Luke's starship speeds through the metallic trench. The young pilot is unaware of the danger above him. Darth Vader lines up on his target.
I have you now.
His wingman's TIE fighter disintegrates.
What?
A clumsy pilot ship careens down and fires once again.
Look out!
Lord Vader's fighter goes out of control and spins helplessly toward deep space. Luke then hears the familiar voice of Han Solo.
You're all clear, kid! Now let's blow this thing and go home!
Luke remembers the lessons of Ben Kenobi. He pushes aside the target visor and closes his eyes as if in touch with something unseen. He touches a control, and his last torpedo flies free. The menacing Death Star has exploded in a blinding light more powerful than 100 suns.
Great shot, kid! That was one in a million!
Remember, the Force will be with you. Always.
Luke returns in triumph to the Rebel base and is reunited with Han and Princess Leia.
The
blackened and battered R2-D2 is removed from Luke's starship.
Oh, no.
Oh, my. R2, can you hear me? Say something. You can repair him, can't you?
We'll get to work on him right away.
You must repair him. Sir, if any of my circuits or gears will help, I'll gladly donate them.
He'll be all right.
Later, in the main temple of the huge ruins, hundreds of troops line up. Banners are flying. And at the far end stands a vision in white. Princess Leia. Luke and the others march up the long aisle to stand before the smiling princess. From one side of the temple waddles R2-D2, fully repaired. He stands beside 3PO and a confused Chewbacca. Leia rises and places a gold medallion around Han's neck, then does the same for Luke. They all turn to face the assembled troops, who bow reverently before them. It is a day to be long remembered, a day of hope for peace and justice throughout the galaxy.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
Well, I hope you all have enjoyed the story of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope LP, as we've taken it over 8 parts over the last several podcasts. Our next story that we'll be jumping into is the story of Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back, and that is also from the LP from 1980. So be looking forward to that as we begin Part 1 of that story in our next episode. Well, that's all the time we have today, folks. This week we talked about Star Wars Weekends. Remember, that will be taking place May 17th through June 9th. We also talked about This Is Madness, the Star Wars character tournament, which is very much like March Madness, so be sure to get your brackets at the official Star Wars site today. We also had an interview with Charlie Ross of One Man Star Wars, the satirical spoof of Luke's change and Inside Job. In gaming footage, we had footage from the Star Wars First Assault game, and also we had the Old Republic Insider Episode 5. And lastly, we completed the Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope LP. We're so grateful that you joined us today, and we hope that you'll come back and visit us again sometime soon. If you have any questions or items that you'd like to submit to the podcast, or just like to be part of the podcast or send in questions, you can send us an email at podcast@galactic-voyage.com. You can also visit us on the web at galactic-voyage.com. Or if you'd like to see us on Twitter and have some conversations there, we can be found at Galactic Voyage. So, again, my name is Gary Willis. I am the host of the show, and so glad again that you joined us. Please join us again soon for more great news and information, and always remember that
you've taken your first step into a larger world.
For joining us on the Galactic Escape Pod, the official podcast of galactic-voyage.com. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and is not endorsed in any way by Lucasfilm Limited. Star Wars, all sounds, characters, and music are the property of Lucasfilm Limited, all rights reserved. All original content in this podcast is the intellectual property of galactic-voyage.com.